Hi, everyone. Welcome to Two Bald Guys Talking Safety. I'm Langdon DeMint.
And I'm Julian Taylor.
And welcome to our podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Two Bald Guys Talking Safety. My name's Julian Taylor. I'm joined by my American friend, buddy, pal, co-host,
compadre,
Mr. Langdon DeMint.
Hey, Jules.
Hi, Langdon.
How are you, friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. I guess play golf the other day-ish, so.
Good.
What's happening with you?
What's happening with me? My daughter's coming home to see me on Saturday, which would be great. She lives in Colombia.
Just a little quick question. Is she bringing coffee?
Of course. I've got a new coffee machine, so I need her to bring some coffee beans for me to try.
I did notice one thing. I know we probably need to get onto it, but the coffee was delicious.
Good.
I feel like the amount that was in the bag is less than other places, though.
Bit mean.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, yeah. For everybody, I went to Colombia and bought some beans back for Langdon. And because I know he loves his coffee. And so I actually went to this coffee farm and got him beans from the coffee farm.
It was really good. I'm not going to lie. But I did notice it disappeared a lot quicker. I didn't even put it in my normal container. I just did it separate. That was like my special treat coffee. Special treat coffee didn't last very long.
Well, I will put an order in for you and get some brought back. Okay.
Thanks. That's a priority.
Yeah, yeah.
As we talk about priorities.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a perfect segue.
So what are we talking about today? Good segue, by the way.
Thank you. I think as we're still early in the year, so I've had some conversations lately with peers, other EHS professionals, and then also a friend of mine who is in a research organization, and they work also a lot with other EHS professionals. And there's been a common theme that I've heard that they're discussing that seems like it's a little carryover from last year, but also what they're trying to do this year. Do you know what that theme is? I would have never guessed this, honestly.
I could hazard some guesses, but I am guessing. So
they all said, and these are large organizations. I wasn't really fully imagining this would be coming now because we kind of talked about it a couple of years ago post C-word. But right now, it's they're trying to figure out what is the basics and how can we get back to health and safety basics and what does that look like? So with that thought, how can we help make EHS a priority for an organization? And should it be a priority?
Interesting question.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions here.
We have talked about this before. And one of the concerns that I would always raise about this is making health and safety a business priority. It almost sounds like common sense, doesn't it? It sounds like a no-brainer. Yeah, it should absolutely be a business priority. But let me put the counter argument, which is put the hat on of the cynical, and I have been known to be cynical in my time.
Truly.
The cynical person working on a shop floor, how motivated and driven are they by business priorities? And it's the thing we've talked about as well is what's in it for me? It's the classic WIFM, isn't it? What's in it for me? And that's what drives most human beings as a starting point, not business priorities. So we hear all the time it's our number one business priority. We'll go into that in a minute in terms of is it really your number one business priority? But actually, one of the first things to think about is to think about how do we motivate individuals to see that safety it should be their priority, not a business priority, their priority. And there are lots of ways that you could approach this, but one of the key things is starting to understand those people first of all and understand what motivates them. So actually, what's important to you, Langdon P. DeMint, so that actually you're going to think about things slightly differently and actually make safety a priority because it's going to actually align to those things that are important to you.
No, I think that's a good thought. And first off, let me say how disappointed I am. It's actually P. Langdon DeMint, Philip first, but anyways.
I know. But I was just like playing with you. Yeah.
I do wonder though, and I So I used to have this discussion, and this has been years ago, and we've talked about it, priority versus values. I think health and safety for all workers has to be a value. It has to be one of those, to exactly what you said, what's in it for me, or why does it matter to me? Even if it's not that straight, what am I getting out of it? Why does this matter? It matters because you want to be healthy and safe. You want to go to work as healthy and safe as you can, and then go home in the same manner, if not better, right? Obviously, if we could. But that should be a number one value. That should be the value of the organization as well. But then I think EHS should still be priority on top of that, really. And that's because if it's a value, it's always underpinning everything. But then organizations are going to go through different priorities. Right now, this podcast is a priority of mine. In whatever, 27 or 17. The what?
Okay. I hope you're going to say it's not going to be a podcast. It's not going to be a priority in the future.
Exactly. Well, in 17 minutes, this right now episode is not going to be a priority anymore.
Yeah.
So I do think there's that differential, but it makes you wonder when we try to figure out how to make EHS a value for the organization and then a priority, that priorities come and go or change. If, to me, it ties back to, if a lot of people are struggling with, we need to get back to basics, or what is basics for us? What is EHS for our organization? Are we trying to then fall back to the same thing we've always done anyways? And if that hasn't worked, how can we make EHS a better organizational value and personal value, which then should align with business priorities for the, you know, whatever, your fiscal year coming up, or you know what I mean? Kind of that looking ahead.
I mean, a couple of thoughts. The first one is on those individuals is get to know people, get to know what's important to them, and help them to recognize that actually safety is important to me because. So, for example, I'll take a wild guess at some of your hobbies. Let's say golf. Golf was a hobby of yours, Langdon. Yeah. And you're working on a production line. One of the key things for you is actually, yeah, your family's important. Golf's important. It's actually going home in a fit state so you can carry on being a good dad, but also you've still got the capability to go and play golf. You've not been injured, so you can't go and do that thing that makes you happy. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing we should be thinking about with individuals, is how do we align safety to the things that are important to them? The second point is, I think we've got to be ready to challenge senior leadership, and we've got to be ready to call bull on senior leadership when they make these rash statements about safety's our number one priority, and yet there's a disconnect in the behaviors that they exhibit on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. So classic example, and I've talked about this loads of times, is what do you report to senior leadership on and how often do you do it? So if it's the classic, we report to senior leadership once a month, and generally it's about incidents that have happened, what's that telling you about whether safety is a number one priority or not? And to me, bang, straight away, I would be asking, okay, well, what are the other metrics in the business that they get reports on, and how often do they get those? And I can guarantee there'll be other reports around production, around sales, around numbers that they're going to get far more frequently than once a month. And it's not going to be about negative things. It'll be about positive things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think we've got to be prepared as health and safety professionals to call it out when our senior leadership aren't doing the things that they say they're doing. Yeah. And then it's interesting because this has just sort of come to me as you were talking there about back to basics. I think you can reflect on, have we actually done the basics traditionally really, really well? That's a reflection for you as an organization. Have we done the basics really, really well? Mm-hmm. And where I'm coming from here is when I think about what are the basics of health and safety, well, one of them absolutely has to be managing risk as effectively as possible. And my challenge is, as an organization, have you been managing risk as effectively as possible? And that's quite a big subject to start to tackle, and we probably haven't got time in this episode to do it, but it's something that you could start to reflect on. So, for example, when we think about things like JHAs or risk assessments, how often do people in your organization actually look at those things? Or have they got into a habit of, I do this job, I know how it's done, so I don't need to look at that document? Yeah. How often do you review those documents? How often do you go back to them and go, could we make it better? Yeah. That continuous improvement element. Yeah. In the event of an incident, do you go back and review that documentation? Yeah. But how much of a focus have you got in your organization about not just health and safety, but about risk management and actually being really focused in on that's our priority? So if we're going back to basics, that's a priority.
I hate to say what I'm about to, but JHA was one of the things that popped into my head. There is a reason why. And I think it's exactly what you said. You think about going back to basics. Well, how often do we review JHAs, for example, or your JSAs? How often are we reviewing those hazard recognitions and the importance of that? And then, even so, if we do, are we just doing it the way we always have instead of thinking a little differently about it? One focus that the States, we're seeing more and more in the UK, I know, even other parts of Western Europe and even Australia, it's a different title, how they term it, but SIFs. So your serious injury fatalities, your fatal potential incidents, your potential SIFs. What if we incorporate that in JHAs? And I have a workshop coming up this summer where I'm actually going to be talking a little more about that. But I think that is something. Do we look at the energy wheel and how that plays a role into the hazards we've recognized? You know, we use that example of a fall is a fall is a fall. And it is. But it isn't. A fall off a ladder that's, 4 foot when I'm putting my Christmas lights up, if I fall on the grass, I'm going to be okay. Might be a little bruised, but I'll be fine. Versus when I scoot over 4 feet, meaning to the side, and there's concrete, if I fall there, there's a lot more chance for something catastrophic or serious. Yeah. So you think about it from that perspective, even if we want to do the same things, or we want to get back to basics, which I think that's okay. Let's figure out, are we actually testing and thinking, how are we going to do the best things to get us the best results, which might be, quote unquote, throwing up the quotation fingers, basic, but they're at least crucial and maybe a little different to help drive change. Our last podcast, we talked about, I guess it's our last one, well, one of the last couple, when we've talked about the BLS data in the States or the numbers, it's the exact same thing. If for the most part we're seeing the same-ish numbers, do we really expect getting back to the basics to be a great change? I don't know. Maybe. But, you don't think so, or it doesn't seem to be. So I wonder if we just need to kind of shift the way we look at these basic things to try to drive better improvement going forward.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say when you said, I hate to say it, I hate to say it, but Jules, that's an amazing point you've just made there.
It was. I thought of it too. I should say that. That's good. Great minds.
Great minds. Cool. So I think actually when we think about getting back to basics, I think there is something in that, but it's actually, to me, it's when you think about what is health and safety, well, to me, the risk management piece is just the fundamental crucial piece to it. And it's something that I think, again, can we get that refocus as a broader organization back into what's the value of a risk assessment? Similar to what's the value to me of actually doing things safely. The next step is, what's the value to me then? How can I support that by using the documents that we've got out there that actually talk about risk management? I think I've said this to you before, we talk to lots of organizations and one of the things that I don't know whether to laugh or be scared by it is the fact that one of the first things we often get asked about is, do you do incident management? So we're going to talk about health and safety and about a change program. The first thing we get asked is, can we deal with when it's gone wrong?
Yeah.
Rather than how do we stop it going wrong in the first place? Which should be our absolute priority, shouldn't it? Is actually, how do we get into being really proactive to keep our people safe?
And no, totally agree. And it's tough because I think you go on to, honestly, I'm not going to say very different, but slightly different areas where the UK, we talked about this as well, UK has risk assessments literally for everything you can dream of. The States, we do not, but you have to complete them. And it's kind of, I'm not going to say it's you use your own judgment, but it's your own judgment in addition to what's already, I mean, there's a lot of requirements to say you have to have that. So I'm not negating those, but it's not a, you know, it's not as risk, it's not as laid out, which then I think there's that in between where really is the good mix. How can we ensure that we're, which is honestly the most important aspect of this, is how can we ensure that we're creating cognizance for workers to understand the importance of being able to recognize those hazards, to be able to recognize the risks that are around them, to understand what the job actually entails. When you look at some of the precursors to those serious injury fatalities, to your typical incidents, it's honestly things like that. Workers were, they didn't understand the work procedures, or maybe they were so accustomed to them, they overlook something, or they didn't realize all the risks and the further hazards that were present. You start thinking, or mental health, you start looking, and it's just one little aspect that leads to these incidents that is actually a precursor to these serious injuries. So how can we figure out different ways of really creating a better focus around that? And I'm not going back just to training, but training, awareness, kind of helping organizations understand the importance of that, the more you embed that in your processes, it does become second nature, honestly.
Yeah, it's avoiding that complacency, isn't it? And I think you also make a good point about what do we risk assess? Because I think that's where sometimes health and safety in the UK loses its credibility, is when we risk assess an organization to death, including things that actually aren't significant. They're not going to be an issue. Actually, what we want to do is make sure that people recognize what is a real risk to them, and they manage it and deal with it effectively. Yeah.
Well, I think same boat. We historically just kind of focus so much on ensuring our numbers, and that kind of exactly what we're talking about, ensuring our numbers, ensuring what we know we have problems with are trying to be rectified, that we forget the outliers or the other things that can come into play and cause serious problems, serious failures that could lead to disruptions. And that's, it goes exactly back to what you just said, complacency. It's, to me, that's not making it, if you become complacent, most likely, I'm not going to say it's not a value, because it can still be a value, but it's one of those, you either get caught in the rut of the normal day, or your priority has shifted a little bit. And that's, to me, that's something we have to really watch out for.
Well, you look at just the fact that sometimes it's the most experienced people who have serious accidents, and that sort of tells its own story, doesn't it? That's one of the challenges, is to keep people focused and don't let complacency become a thing.
Yeah, for sure. I concur.
Good. I love it when you concur. It's probably a good point to end. This was always going to be a short, punchy episode. Yep. So I think it was short and punchy. We will pick up some of these themes in the next few weeks. We've got some good guests coming up in the next few weeks. So keep listening. Keep sort of tuning into the podcast. And there will be some good people coming on with some good messages. And I'm going to say thank you for listening and hand you back to my shiny-headed friend to sign us out.
Thanks, buddy. And I do agree. I think this is something we're going to really focus on throughout the year, just different aspects of of how we can grow. It's something we always really strive to do, is give tidbits here and there of what we've seen helping organizations, of what's helped organizations we've worked in, and continuing to do so. So as you go about your days, and as you're going about your evening with family, and then going to work, and then going back home, and going back to work, and going back home, and you're afraid you're getting caught in the mundane, always remember to be cognizant, be aware, and ultimately, watch each other's back out there. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Two Bald Guys Talking Safety. Don't forget to follow and subscribe wherever you stream your podcast, or you can visit us at evotix.com.
And if you've liked today's podcast or you found some value from it, we'd really appreciate it if you could head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review or a rating. It really means a lot to us. Thank you.